Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson penned a letter to President Trump urging him not to sign a sweeping ban on flavored vape products. In the letter, Johnson says the ban could unfairly impact some 10,000 small businesses across the country. And he argues there could be severe public health fallout for adults who use e-cigarettes as they try to curb or even quit their traditional cigarette habit. In recent weeks, President Trump has indicated he supports a ban. This follows reports of more than 2,000 Americans sickened by vaping products. And according to the CDC, about 40 people have died from illnesses related to e-cigarettes. Our next guest joins us to talk about the intersection of politics and health here. Lauren Weber is the Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She's based in St. Louis, Missouri. Lauren, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I want to start just with your initial thoughts on U.S. Senator Johnson's letter to President Trump. What do you notice there?
Well, to be honest, I'm not at all surprised. He's been a firm advocate for vaping for a long time, since 2016. Actually, my colleague Rachel Bluth and I wrote a story about how, frankly, the We Vape, We Vote, which is vapers that feel very strongly about keeping vaping a viable option for them, claim Senator Johnson as their first victory. They say that his support for vaping and deregulation of the vaping industry to some extent really turned them out at the ballot box. And they like to say that, you know, they helped get him elected. So I'm not really that surprised that he has chosen to take this stance. And he's indicated prior to this letter several times to reporters and others that the president's potential for a vaping flavor ban is something that makes him very uneasy for the reasons he lists, which are, you know, potential impact for jobs and then the public health ramifications that he also talks about. So I'm not necessarily surprised to see the letter. If anything, I'm surprised it wasn't sent earlier.
Well, what should we infer maybe about the timing of it right now? We know that President Trump has indicated that we have to do something for the kids.
So it has been a back and forth with President Trump. He initially indicated that there was going to be a full stop vaping ban. That has somewhat seemed to change as the backlash to that has unfolded. You know, I have spoken to vape shop owners and vape shop folks who have really laid out for me how this is a single issue for them. They feel very strongly there's very much a libertarian bent to it. And as that kind of outrage has played out in the media, online, on Twitter, on Facebook, you've seen the president and his campaign advisor or campaign chief kind of waver a little bit on what will happen on this vaping issue. And just last week, and even at the beginning of this week, he tweeted that they're going to have a vaping meeting where they have advocates come and talk. It's unclear who will be at that. But essentially he has, and on Friday, he kind of mentioned that they're looking at an age ban. They're talking about flavors, so on and so forth. So the jury, in my view, is still out on whether or not a vaping ban is actually in the cards. I think that it seems that there potentially has been some pressure against that and might see something instead, that instead of a vaping flavor ban that, you know, governors and others have put into place, you see a vaping flavor ban for folks under 21 or a ban of that, you know, of selling to folks under 21 of e-cigarettes and some other different avenues than what was initially suggested.
And I believe Senator Johnson says he would support something like that, but his focus is really on the impact that this could have to, he says, 10,000 small businesses. I mean, how might small smoke shops be negatively impacted by a ban like this?
No, I mean, to be honest, the senator has a point there. I mean, in our reporting, you know, when I understand it from the data I've looked at, there are, you know, vape shops are one of the biggest small business successes of the last couple of years. And if you were to have a flavor ban, it would essentially wipe them all out. So I think there is, you know, there is a potential, political constituency here when you talk about folks that feel so strongly about this. And a lot of vape shop owners, when you talk to them, it's not just that they feel strongly for their economic livelihood, but they really truly believe that vaping has saved their life because they believe it's helped them stop smoking. The public health data on the dangers of vaping is still very much, you know, unclear. I know Senator Johnson cites a UK study in his letter, but, you know, the UK is a little different. The UK, the nicotine levels in vaping there is much lower. The public health consequences of switching to vaping are very unclear and very uncharted, but vape shop owners do very much credit them for, in fact, saving their lives.
Lauren Weber is the Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News based out of St. Louis, and we're talking about the back and forth over a potential ban on flavored vaping products, or maybe for products based on age of the buyer. And we're talking about U.S. Senator Johnson from Wisconsin. You know, he's pointed to public health concerns related to e-cigarettes. Illnesses have kind of dominated this conversation lately. And sometimes we don't talk about potential positive public health outcomes. Do we know what the science really says about that? We're even seeing, you know, Juul use some testimonials from e-cigarette users talking about positives that come for their health.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, as I said, you know, the documented positives have not been, I would say, scientifically examined as much as they should be. What I will say is when you talk about the vaping youth addiction crisis and then the vaping illness crisis, there are some separate issues at play there, because the vaping illness, you know, they say, you know, the latest data on that shows that the vast majority of it is linked to counterfeit products. Mm-hmm. That said, some of that is not linked to counterfeit products. So what's happening there in the safety of those products that folks are using that are not counterfeit, that don't involve THC, and they're still getting sick? I don't have the answer on that, and neither really does the CDC quite yet. But there is a distinction between the vaping illness and then the vaping as an addictive issue for teens.
Right. It seems to be that the illnesses we're seeing may be an acute issue, but it does play into this broader question of addictive products when people start as young adults.
Right. And I mean, and I think if you talk to any vape advocate and folks that vape, usually these are older, you know, 40 to 60 year olds who have started a vape shop or go to vape shops, who got on vaping to quit smoking. The teen situation, most of those teens were not smoking and now are vaping, which is not what you want. So it's really, they're kind of two different, the advocates are coming at it from a very different angle than the teen crisis really is. And they, many of them will tell you that they too support age bans. They support not having folks that have, been addicted to smoking, you know, start vaping. They don't want folks addicted to, like they say, big tobacco or even big e-cigarettes. You know, most vape shop owners have a high disdain level for Juul. They cannot stand it. So there's a lot of interplay within the community that hasn't quite really been examined, I think, in a national conversation.
Mm. What about Wisconsin? How do we fit into this vaping industry and the politics of it? Where are we in context?
I will say that Wisconsin has been fascinating to me. So I actually went to Wisconsin to track how you all, frankly, were the ones that blew the whistle on the vaping injury illness. Your mm-hmm. public health officials really kicked that off. But what's also interesting about Wisconsin is you're the site of a Juul manufacturing site, and you also have the first senator that vape advocates claim that they got elected. So you seem to be quite at the nexus of so many things when it comes to e-cigarette and vaping use. And it's fascinating to me that you have so many different factions kind of playing out in your own state there.
And we talked a little bit about what's coming next with President Trump as far as a committee. But do we have additional indications as far as this kind of back and forth, what might be influencing him here?
I think there are some concerns that if the vaping electorate voting bloc could be so frustrated with this ban that it could have some ramifications for him, I think that could potentially be in play. You know, as I've reported with my colleague Rachel Bluth, you know, these people are real. They feel very strongly, and they really could, if organized, be a potential electoral force to be reckoned with. They have a long way to go on organizing where they are as a grassroots piece, but they do seem to have the fervor and the energy of a libertarian-esque movement that could go places. So I think potentially the backlash from that may be influencing it. I think also, you know, you saw yesterday on the Hill, even Rand Paul was saying that he felt like the debate had gotten out of hand, that there was government overreach in this talk of banning flavors and banning these things. I think it's become, you know, Americans for Tax Reform has been very involved with this, but I think there is some libertarian, more conservative ideology being played out in this argument that government banning of flavors is overreach. You know, we don't ban flavors of vodka, as Grover Norquist told me. We don't ban flavors of ice cream that are bad for you, but we're going to ban flavors of e-cigarettes. You know, these advocates feel like that's an overstep. They feel like it's an overreach.
In our last moments here, what are you watching as we have so many pieces of this story's puzzle coming together?
You know, I'm watching the White House every day. It's always an adventure to see if anything will happen there. The president has spoken on it. Like I said, he spoke on it Friday and tweeted about it Monday. It seems that there's a lot brewing in the next couple of days and weeks that will be coming out. I'd watch, you know, the FDA because that's where the recommendations are coming out of. I'd watch Senator Johnson. I mean, he has been a vaping advocate from the beginning, and he has been at the forefront of kind of fighting for these folks. And so I'd be curious what he does next.
We'll pay attention. Thank you so much. Lauren Weber is the Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News, talking about a potential vaping ban and Wisconsin's place in it. This is Central Time.